There you are, Gibeah. Your jar is full. You'll have an early start today and should do well. Joppa's full of ships this time of year.
If I only had a wool coat. It's so chilly in the mornings.
Oh, it'll warm up soon, son. You need so many things. It isn't easy for us now that your father's gone.
I'm sure he'll return soon.
Oh, it's been a long time, Gib. Over half a year. That bad storm off the coast of Africa. No, son. It's only you and me now. And God.
And our friends. Don't forget our friends.
Oh, yes, thank God for our friends. The followers of the way of Jesus. Oh, Tabitha told me that she's making something special for you, Gib. A new coat out of the warm wool of Cilician goats.
Great. When will it be ready?
Oh, another day or two. You saw the one she made for Pallet?
Sure did. He's always showing it off.
Well, you can be sure yours will be just as nice.
Tabitha's always doing kind things, isn't she?
Yes. So many widows and their children around here have been blessed by her nimble fingers and her kind heart. Oh, if only there were more like her. Well, you'd better be running along, dear. And on the way home, stop by the bazaar for some fresh fruit.
I hope it warms up quick.
Oh, the sun's rising. It won't be long. And soon you'll have a warm coat. Unless... Well, it might take a little while longer. Tabitha has been ill lately and hasn't gotten any better.
Oh, Mother, I hope nothing happens to her. She has to get better.
Oh, she will, Gib. We're all praying that she will.
She has to. She just has to.
Welcome, boys and girls, and our older friends, too. We're always pleased to have you join us for another story from the Bible.
Uncle Dan, who is this hard-working fellow by the name of Gibeah, or Gib?
Well, Aunt Sue, that's the name I've given to one of the many boys in the city of Joppa who had to work from an early age in order to help their families survive. Sometimes their fathers died when they were very young. So boys like Gib found work as water carriers, or farmhands, or helpers to tanners, silversmiths, shopkeepers, or a dozen other occupations.
It doesn't sound like a very easy life.
No, it wasn't. Not for a family who had lost their father. Our story today has to do with a woman who particularly loved the widows and their children.
That's Tabitha, also called Dorcas. I believe her name means gazelle.
That's right. And I picture her as a lively young woman, always happy as she helped others. One of the ways she helped many of the widows and their children was by making clothes for them.
I think we're going to have a wonderful story today, Uncle Dan. And yet there's a note of sadness to it, isn't there?
We'll find out soon, Aunt Sue, as we continue today's story, which I've called...
A Woman Named Gazelle.
Almost every day, Gib took his jar of fresh water to the harbor of Joppa, a busy seaport on the Mediterranean Sea. Ships came in from Africa, Rome, Spain, and many other places. By midday, a hot wind often blew from the desert to the east, and the sailors and dock workers became very thirsty.
Here you are, sir, the coolest water in Joppa, from the best well anywhere in the city.
That is good water. Here you are. Come back in a few hours, and I'll be needing more.
Thank you, sir.
Gib, over here.
Coming, sir.
You don't remember me, do you, Gib?
No, sir.
You are the son of Elam, who used to sail to Africa for grain.
That's right.
Here you are, for a dipper of your cool water. Ah, yes. Your father was a brave man, and you ought to be proud of him.
I am, sir. When did you see him last?
Just before he set sail with a load of grain from Egypt. And a day later, that terrible storm came up. I'm afraid that was the last any of us saw of Elam and his crew.
Perhaps he's just lost, on an island, or on a beach somewhere.
No. I'm sorry, Gib. He would have found his way back by now. No. His ship was broken up. We found some of the planks. I'm afraid no one survived.
I guess I shouldn't keep hoping, but it's been so hard for Mother and me. I try to help.
You're a fine lad. When you're older, come and join me on my ship. But for now, let's have another dipper of your cool water. Here's another coin for you.
Yes, sir. You know, sir, Mother and I are very lucky. We have good friends, followers of the way of Jesus.
The way of Jesus? Yes, I've met some of those people. Just the other day, a man told me about Simon Peter, who healed a lame man in Lydda. A man who hadn't walked for 8 years. Well, that's some story. But perhaps it's true.
Simon Peter's in Lydda? He's one of the Lord's apostles.
Well, maybe someday he'll come to Joppa. Well, I must get back to work. See how lazy my sailors get when I take a few minutes off. Come on, you lazy landlubbers. Move those bales.
Finally, after a tiring day, it was time for Gib to buy a few things at the bazaar, a place filled with tempting smells and sights. All kinds of foods from the countryside and across the sea, cloth and silks from India, silver jewelry and copper tools from Cyprus, dozens of things any boy would desire, but none of which the children of widows could afford.
What do you have, Gib? How about some dried apricots filled with honey, or some tasty nuts from Lebanon?
No, sir. Just a few figs and olives.
Ah, very well. Here you are.
Everywhere Gib went, he had to be careful to stay out of the way of the Roman soldiers, their swords ever ready at their sides. Loneliness must have filled the boy's heart as he passed inns and houses where there was laughter and music. And finally, he was home again, a poor house at the edge of town. But as always, his mother was there, ready to serve him supper and ease his tired muscles.
Mother, I'm home. Mother, where are you?
Hello, Gib. I'm glad you're back.
Mother, what's wrong? You've been crying.
It's very sad, Gib. She was such a dear woman, so helpful.
Mother, what's wrong?
It's Tabitha.
Tabitha?
Remember, she was very ill.
Yes, but...
She died today.
Tabitha dead? Oh, no.
I'm afraid it's true, Gibia.
It can't be.
They've already prepared the body for burial tomorrow, and the mourners and flute players have been hired.
But why? She was so kind, so... We need her.
We cannot know why, son. It's God's will.
I can't see how God wants Tabitha dead.
Well, we must just accept it. There's nothing else that can be done, Gib.
Mother, Simon Peter from Jerusalem. He's at Lydda. He healed a man who was lame for 8 years. We can send for him.
Even if Peter came, Gib, what good could he do?
Jesus raised people from the dead. I remember the stories.
But that was the Lord Jesus. He could do that.
Peter heals in the name of Jesus, doesn't he? Can't we send for him anyway? At least we can send for him. Lydda's only a few hours away.
I'll talk to the others about it. Perhaps Peter will want to be at Tabitha's funeral. It would be comforting to have him there.
Please send for Peter.
We'll try, Gibeah. But, son, we mustn't expect Peter, as great as he is, to raise someone from the dead. Now, son, wash up and let's have something to eat.
I'm not hungry.
You must eat something. You've worked hard all day, son. I'll get supper ready.
I don't care about a new coat. Only if Tabitha could be with us again. It isn't fair. First my father, and now Tabitha. She was making a coat for me, too, Peter.
Please, Gibby, don't bother Peter right now. Can't you see how sad he is, too?
Friends, please, would you leave the room?
But we don't want to leave Tabitha. We're mourning for her.
You must leave now. I need to pray.
Come, let's go downstairs to the courtyard and wait. We must obey Peter.
Peter was alone with a dead woman, Tabitha. He knelt and spent some time praying to God. He wanted to be sure of what God wanted him to do.
Almighty Father, I am just a weak man, and depend entirely upon you. According to your will, use me to glorify your Son, Jesus. I can do nothing of myself. I depend entirely upon you. Amen.
Then Peter turned to Tabitha, lying so still in a humble coffin made by her friends. For a day now she had been dead. Her hands, which had helped so many, were still. No laughter or words of encouragement could leave her lips. Peter's heart filled with great love and faith, and he said,
"Tabitha, get up."
Tabitha opened her eyes. The flush of life filled her cheeks. She sat up, looked around, bewildered, and then saw Peter.
"Who are you, sir?"
"I am the Apostle Peter, a follower of Jesus, as you are."
"Peter? Yes, now I remember. I was ill, wasn't I? And then all I remember is everything going black."
"You died. But your many friends here missed you so much that God brought you back to life. They love you very much and they need you. Come, take my hand. Let us go see your friend." "Women of Joppa, here is your dear friend Tabitha."
"Tabitha? She's alive."
"This is the greatest miracle in history."
"Oh, yes, Peter raised her back to life."
"It wasn't me, friends, but the power of Jesus who answered your prayers."
"Peter, sir, thank you. Now I'll have a new coat. But even more, we have our Tabitha back. Thank you."
"You must thank God for this miracle also."
"I do. Thank you, God. You're so wonderful."
"Come, Gib. We must tell our friends of this great news."
The good news raced through the town of Joppa, and many more believed in Jesus. The community of believers grew stronger, and Peter decided to stay for a while in Joppa and help the young church. Simon, a tanner living in Joppa, came up to Peter.
"Peter, I would be honored if you made your home with me while you're in Joppa. I have a house by the sea. A large place with cool breezes."
Peter, I must speak to you in private. Come this way. This Simon, he is a kind man, a true follower of the way, but..."
"Yes, but what?"
"But..."
"I'm a tanner, Peter. And you know that we tanners are treated as unclean by the Jews because we work with dead animals, making leather from the hides."
"That makes no difference to me or to the Lord, who loves everyone. Simon, you can be sure I'd be honored to stay at your home as long as I'm in Joppa. By the sea, you say?"
"Yes, sir. It's really a nice place, with a cool ocean breeze, and if you like the sound of waves..."
"I would love it."
"Oh, well, there's nothing like the great sea. Remember, this is the harbor where Jonah sailed from, and the great fish swallowed him?"
"Ah, yes. Well, I used to be a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee.
Oh.
We had some big storms, too.
Oh, yes.
Let me tell you about one storm when the master was with us, and our boat..."
Peter stayed for a long time in Joppa, helping the young church to become stronger and telling the visitors from other lands about Jesus. During this time, another strange event took place. About noon one day, Peter went up to the rooftop of Simon's house where the cool sea breezes blew. He wanted to spend some time in prayer before lunch was served.
"Oh, I feel hungry. Oh, well, lunch won't be ready for a while yet. I'll have some time to pray. It's so relaxing here with the breeze blowing, sound of the waves. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters."
Peter fell into a trance, or a vision. He saw the sky open up, and a great canvas sheet, held by invisible hands at its four corners, settled before him. What that canvas sheet contained startled Peter. In that sheet were all sorts of animals that the Jews considered unclean, from snakes and vultures to pigs and dogs. And a voice commanded Peter to do something that was very revolting to him.
Peter, go kill and eat any of them you wish.
Never, Lord. I have never in all my life eaten such creatures, for they are forbidden by our Jewish laws as unclean.
Don't contradict God, Peter. If he says something is clean, then it is.
The same vision appeared two more times, and each time Peter was commanded to kill and eat what he wished. Finally, the sheet was pulled up again into the sky and disappeared from Peter's sight. He woke up with a start.
What's going on? It's gone. The sheet. All those animals are gone. What could it mean? Eat those kinds of animals? Snakes, pigs, rats. Ugh. Oh, no. No, the Lord could not be asking me to eat all those kinds of things. Not when he forbade them to our people. But what could the vision mean?
Peter! Peter!
Yes, Simon, what is it?
There could be trouble. Roman soldiers are here looking for you.
Roman soldiers? What did they say?
They came to the gate. Two soldiers and the servant of Cornelius from Caesarea. They asked for me, and then they asked me if you were here. What shall I tell them?
Go back to them and tell them I'll be there right away.
All right, but I'm worried.
Don't be. The Lord is our protector. Roman soldiers from Cornelius?
Peter, three men have come to see you. Go down and meet them and go with them. All is well. I have sent them.
Peter went downstairs to meet the three men, two of whom were Roman soldiers.
Sirs, I am Simon Peter, the man you're looking for.
Am I ever glad to find you. Don't be afraid of the soldiers. They're my escort.
I'm not afraid. Now, what can I do for you, gentlemen?
Sir, Cornelius is a good and godly man.
Yes, I understand he is well thought of by the Jews.
It seems that an angel appeared to him.
An angel? Peter, would an angel appear to a Roman?
Let's hear the rest of the story. Go on, friend.
This angel instructed Cornelius to send for you. He said you would be found in Joppa at the home of Simon the Tanner.
Yes. Yes, go on.
Well, Cornelius sent us to bring you back to him. Apparently, you are to give him a message of what God wants him to do.
I'll leave with you first thing tomorrow morning. It should take us less than 2 days' journey. Simon, can you make our guests comfortable? I'm sure they're tired and hungry.
Yes. Yes, I believe so. I have a big house. I'll get my servant. Servant!
Early next morning, Peter, accompanied by six of his fellow believers and the three visitors from Cornelius, left Joppa and traveled north by foot. They went up the coast for about 30 miles and arrived the following day.
That's Cornelius' house with the fountain and the gardens.
A very nice place. But who are all those people waiting? Dozens of people. Oh,
those are the family, relatives and friends of Captain Cornelius. He's called them together to hear your message. And there is our master himself.
Come in, please, come in. I'm Cornelius. I've been so anxious for you to come.
I'm Simon Peter, the one you've sent for.
Oh, Peter, come in. Praise God. What, you've come.
Please, don't kneel. I'm just a man like yourself. I'm not a god.
I meant no disrespect, Peter. It's just that I've looked forward to your visit so much. Why, you must have something very important to tell us. Come this way. Others wait for you.
That's Peter?
Yes, it is.
Shh, listen.
Look, all my family and friends have come to hear you.
You know, Cornelius, it is against the Jewish laws for me to come into a Gentile home like this. But God has shown me in a vision that I should never think of anyone as inferior or unclean. So I came as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me, what has happened?
Something amazing, Peter. 4 days ago, I was praying as usual at this time of the afternoon, when suddenly a man was standing before me, clothed in a radiant robe. And this man told me, "Cornelius, your prayers are heard and your charities have been noticed by God. Now send some men to Joppa and summon Simon Peter, who is staying in the home of Simon, a tanner, down by the shore. So I sent for you at once, and you have done well to come so soon. And now here we are, waiting before the Lord, anxious to hear what he has told you to tell us."
"I see very clearly that the Jews are not God's only favorites. In every nation he has those who worship him and are acceptable to him."
At that time, Peter realized what his vision had meant, that the good news of Jesus Christ knew no barriers, that it was to go to the peoples of all nations, whether Jew or Gentile, Roman or Hebrew. To God, all people were his children, for he was the father of all. Peter told Cornelius and his family and friends more about Jesus.
"I'm sure, friends, that you have heard about the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus, the Messiah, who is Lord of all creation. God sent us to preach the good news everywhere and to testify that Jesus is ordained of God to be the judge of all, whether living or dead."
Even as Peter was telling the listeners about Jesus, the Holy Spirit came upon all those listening. Both the Jews and Gentiles were amazed.
"What's happening to us? It's the Holy Spirit of God come upon us.
He's filling us with his power.
Jesus is Lord and Savior.
Look, Peter, the Holy Spirit has been given to the Gentiles also."
"Yes, and they have received the Spirit just as we did at Pentecost. They have received the same joy and peace. Can anyone object to my baptizing them?"
No objection.
Let them be baptized.
Yes, let them be baptized.
Peter baptized the new believers in the name of Jesus, the Messiah. Afterwards, Cornelius begged Peter to stay with him for several days. Peter did so, then returned to Jerusalem. There he knew many of the Christian Jews would disagree with what he had done, and he would need to give account.
"I hear, Simon Peter, that you fellowshipped with Gentiles and even ate with them."
"How could you do that, Simon, and you, a son of Abraham? You're a leader in our synagogue in Jerusalem. People look up to you to be a follower of Jesus, true, but also a Jew."
"This could mean big trouble for us if other Jews hear about it."
Then Peter told them about his vision and how the Holy Spirit filled Cornelius and the other Gentile believers.
"Since it was God who gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to argue?"
"Well, I can see your point."
"But isn't the promise given to the Jewish nation? Isn't he our Messiah?"
"I tell you, brothers, by God's word, Jesus wants all to be saved. For he is the Messiah given for all."
"I guess that's right. God has given the Gentiles this gift of eternal life as well as to us.
They can also turn to him for salvation."
The Jewish Christians were willing to accept the non-Jews as fellow believers, equal in God's sight. Now the young Christian church was ready to send out missionaries throughout all the world. Soon, tremendously exciting things would start happening in the young church. The world would soon be turned upside down for Jesus Christ.